Alrighty, Shabbat Shalom. Let's start in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we come before your throne and we bless you and thank you for another week of protection and all the wonderful things you provide us with food, with shelter, with security, and most of all, Father, with giving us your grace and forgiveness of sins through the shed blood of your Son. We pray, Father, and we ask your blessing on this Bible study. We ask you to bless the ones who will hear it, to open up our eyes and our ears to what we'll hear and understand your word. And we thank you, Father, for your spirit of revealing these things in the book of Revelation in these last days. We pray your kingdom to this earth as is in heaven, and we give you all glory and praise. In the name of your Son, Yeshua, we pray. Hallelujah. Alrighty, this is exciting. This is exciting. The book of Revelation. Like I said, welcome to everybody who's in our living room tonight, all those that are hearing with us in our living room, and I appreciate all the good feedback I'm getting from the Bible studies, so I'm glad that many people are listening to them and learning, and it's exciting for us to be around and to be able to do it this way. Alrighty, we finished last week Revelation 12, one of the most amazing chapters in the book of Revelation. And the great sign from Revelation 12, 1 and 2, that, like I said, 1 year ago, this sign happened. It happens once every 7,000 years, and this sign happened, which shows us the rest of Revelation 12 of war in heaven, Satan getting cast out, coming to the earth, the 144,000 going to the place of safety that's been prepared for her, and these other things. I mean, it's on the horizon. Yahweh is giving us these signs to show us that these things are not that far in the future. So now we come up to Revelation 13, because after that happens, the beast power comes and takes place. And remember in Revelation 9, the beast that comes from the bottomless pit, so when Satan gets cast down, Revelation 12, and you know verse 4, and also verse 9, the great dragon is cast out of heaven, right? What happens? He's cast out of heaven. In Revelation 9, there's the key to the bottomless pit of letting these demons out. And then Satan is on the earth to wreak havoc for 42 months. And he literally will have a governmental structure. Right now, he's been inspiring that structure that we're going to go into in Revelation 13. But now he will be the leader of that structure. And like I said, whether it's going to be a human body that he is physically going to manifest himself in, like one of these people we may talk about, one of these world leaders, or if it's some kind of robotic thing, the artificial intelligence, and they make some kind of robot. Because at the end of this, when we start getting into the mark of the beast, I'm going to talk about the technology, and it's scary, some of the technology that they have today and that they're talking about, of making robots that are almost like robot humanoids. They're half human and half robot that they'll be. And literally to be able to take the mind of somebody and everything that's in their memory and put it in this robot and to make people almost feel like they're living forever. Because you would think it's the person, but the person could be dead. But the robot would live forever, acting just like the person did. And this stuff isn't 100 years away. This stuff we're talking about in the next 5 to 10 years, within the next decade, a lot of this stuff. Who would have thought 20 years ago, if we were talking about giving a Bible study like this, that we would have the internet and all the stuff that's going on today with smartphones and Facebook and all this other evil stuff that's out there. So let's start getting into it now, this beast and what happens. So chapter 13, verse 1 says, "And I stood on the sand of the sea, and I saw a beast coming up out of the sea." Excuse me. "Having seven heads and 10 horns, and on his horns 10 crowns, and on his heads names of blasphemy. And the beast which I saw was like a leopard, and it had feet like the feet of a bear, and its mouth was a lion's mouth, and the dragon gave its power to it, and its throne, and its great authority." So what is this? What is this? It's a beast, right? So, like I said, there's a lot of hyperbole. There's a lot of symbolism in the book of Revelation. We've been talking about this the whole time. But now we're seeing that it's a government, because we're going to parallel this with the book of Daniel, that we know the book of Daniel was talking about four worldly governments of Babylon, Medo-Persia, Greece, and then Rome. And this is paralleling now with the book of Revelation. So it's a government that's being compared to a beast. Why? Because it's an evil government. It's a government that's destroying people, killing people, controlling the earth. And yet, as we're going to see, most of the people on the earth are loving it because most of the people are like it. And if there's ever been a time in history, I think, where we can understand it, it's now. Because the world has always been polarized, right? And I remember 35 years ago when I was first coming to faith, and a true believer, you know, somebody who's a covenant believer, who's baptized properly and keeps the Shabbat and the commandments and keeps the holy days according to Scripture, we would look at a marginal Christian out there as not a real believer, you know, maybe someone who's called but not chosen. And that's the dichotomy. Even though that Christian, you know, is reading the same Bible, it could be as morally fit, if not more moral than a lot of believers were, but because they're eating pork and we're not eating pork, these were the differences that were out there. But today, this world is so marginalized, it's unbelievable. You know, depending whether you're watching Fox News or you're watching CNBC or CNN, is what side of the aisle you're going to be on. And both sides think they're right, and both sides are so strong what they believe in. You know, whether you think Donald Trump is the Messiah or the anti-Messiah, one or the other. And that's what we're seeing. We're seeing such a polarized world, you can't believe it. And as we're going to see here with this beast power, first we're going to get into who it is and what it is. But we're going to see that for the believers, it's the worst thing in the world, right? The ones who were not the 144,000 who were taken away in chapter 12, but all the Laodiceans that are left, this beast power is coming after them. And that's why I keep saying, man, if people don't start thinking today, the believers, about kibbutzes and community, because for the 144,000, you won't be there, but we're going to be setting this up for the Laodiceans that are left behind, that are going to need to be living that way at that time, because you'll never make it on your own. You're just never going to make it with what's coming here. So let's parallel this, because number one, this beast has 7 heads and 10 horns. So 7, again, number of completion, right? So 7 is showing that it's a government that has authority on the earth from this government. But 10 horns, 10 showing the number of not good government, not Yahweh's government, incomplete government. So it's a unified worldly government, but it's not a complete government from Yahweh. So let's parallel this now with Daniel 7. Let's go to the book of Daniel, because let's look who the players are, and then let's see if we could figure out what they're talking about. Daniel 7. It says, in the first year of Belshazzar, king of Babylon, Daniel saw a dream and visions of his head on his bed. Then he related the dream, giving the sum of the matter. And Daniel spoke and said, in my vision by night I was looking, and behold, the four winds of the heavens were stirring up the great sea. That's the Mediterranean Sea, is the great sea. And four great beasts came up from the sea, different from one another. The first was like a lion and had eagle's wings. Okay, so it's like a lion and has eagle's wings. I watched until its wings were torn off, and it was lifted up from the earth and made to stand on 2 feet like a man, and a man's heart was given to it. And another was like a bear, and it was established on one side, and 3 ribs were in its mouth between its teeth, and they said to it, rise up, eat must flesh. And after I was looking, and behold, another like a leopard. And to it were 4 wings of a bird on its side, and also to the beast were 4 leaders, and rulership were given to it. And after this, I was looking in the night visions, and behold, the fourth beast was frightening and terrifying and exceedingly strong, and to it were given huge iron teeth. It devoured and crushed and stamped what was left on its feet, and it was different from all the beasts before it, and it had 10 horns. So here's the beast. So now we go back to Revelation, right? And Revelation adds one more. So we see in Revelation, they talk about the leopard, they talk about the bear, but they talk about the lion, but they also talk about the dragon. And isn't it interesting? Because this is world government, right? And we've had world empires. Babylon was a world empire, right? Greece was a world empire. Rome was a world empire. But up until modern times, we've never had a world government, I don't mean a world empire, but a world government, meaningly all nations working together in one government. And where do we see that today? We see it today with United Nations. And isn't it interesting that the beast has seven heads, you know, seven leadership parts to it and 10 horns. And isn't it interesting in the United Nations, what do you have? You have seven heads. You have five members that are permanent members on the Security Council. They're the ones making the major decisions, who are United States, Great Britain, Russia, France, and China. And then you have a rotating president and you have a secretary general. So that's seven heads to this beast and 10 horns. What are the 10 horns? You have 10 countries, because the Security Council has 15 members, five permanent members, United States, UK, Russia, France, and China. And then they have 10 rotating members. So that's the 10 horns, meaning there's 10 members that, I don't know if it's 1 year, I think it's 2 years actually that they serve, and then somebody else will serve rotating at the 10. And just like it talked about in the book of Daniel, I'm not going to go there to all these things in Daniel, but it talked about in Daniel that, you know, and even Revelation that they were willing, the 10 horns, to give the power over to the beast. And it's true. In the United Nations Security Council, who makes the decisions? It's either the United States with UK and France behind them, or it's China and Russia. It's one or the other. But whoever is a rotating member in the Security Council are not making decisions. The rotating members are basically going along what they all do. And isn't it interesting that you have a lion with eagle's wings? Who represents the lion? Great Britain, right? That's the representation of Great Britain is a lion. Which representation of America? The eagle, right? So you have a lion with eagle's wings. All of when the New World Order really started in the 1990s, after President George Bush the First talked about this is a New World Order. It's a big idea, diverse nations working together. And then they did all kinds of things from there, right? In Kosovo and all other kinds of countries that they were going into and doing all these different things, even Iraq and those places. And how did they do it? Usually, did they bring big armies in? No. It was usually what they called shock and awe. It was the air power of America with Great Britain. That's the way the first and second Gulf War did. But then we saw in Daniel, what does he say? That it's a lion with eagle's wings, but then the wings are taken away, showing that America, Babylon, is going to be cut down. And then you have the bear. Who represents the bear? Russia. And then you have the leopard, which is France. And it's very interesting, if you go back to Daniel 7 in chapter 6, after this I was looking, and behold, another like a leopard, and to it were four wings of a bird on its side. And the original four members of the United Europe, which is the EU today, were Germany, France, Italy, and Belgium. They're the original four members of that. So we see that. But France, you know, France, which is representative of the tribe of Reuben, that's where the Reubenites went. And what does it talk about to Reuben? That because of what he did to his father's concubine, that he'll never exceed. He'll be like water boiling over. And when you look at France, can you imagine? Somebody who just comes to the world, right? And they watch the world for a year. And then you would tell them, who do you think would be the five permanent members on the Security Council of the United Nations? Nobody would ever think France. Where is France ever in world dominion or world things? And yet they are. They are a nuclear power, France. But they're one of the five members of the Security Council. You would think India, they got 1.5 billion people, right? Or Germany, or somebody else like that. But it's not. Or even Turkey. Look at the power of Turkey. But it's not. It's France is one of the five members. And France is represented by the leopard. And then, of course, China is represented by the dragon. That's their representation. So we actually see this. We actually see the eagle, the lion, the bear, the leopard, the dragon, with United States, UK, Russia, France, and China. So, wow. Here it is. It's all there. If we drop down to verse 23 of Daniel 7, look what it says. And he said, the fourth beast shall be the fourth kingdom on earth, which shall be different from all the kingdoms, and shall devour all the earth, and shall trample it down and crush it. And the 10 horns out of this kingdom are 10 kings. They shall rise, and another shall rise after them. And they shall be different from the first, and shall humble 3 kings. So we see here, you know, that this is talking about this evil fourth kingdom is the fourth kingdom of the beast. It's the world government that's coming at this time. If we continue in verse 3 now of Revelation 13. And I saw one of its heads as having been slain to death, and its deadly wound was healed. And all the earth wondered after the beast. So what is this? He saw that one of the heads. So what did we say were the 7 heads? U.S., U.K., Russia, France, China, and then the rotating president and the secretary general. So one of the heads were having been slain to death. And what is this? I believe that this is when Babylon falls. Because right now, Babylon has been the leader of this beast power. You know, but Babylon rides the beast, but Babylon is not the beast. You know, the beast is this world government, and it might be the United Nations as we know it today, or when Babylon falls, the world may create something else. It may not be called United Nations at that time. Do you know that they also have broken the world down already into 10 regions? The United Nations has the world broken into 10 regions, and it talks that could also be where it talks about here, the 10 horns, that there's 10 regions that the world is broken into. But if we go to Revelation 17:11, look what it says. And the beast which was and is not, even he is the 8th and is of the 7th, and he goes into perdition. So this is the beast that we're talking about here, that it wasn't before, now it's back again, because there's 4 parts to this beast. We already saw 3 parts. This is the last part in the end time. And it's going to go into perdition. So we know it's the anti-Messiah, the son of perdition, who's leading this thing, right? And drop down to verse 16 of Revelation 17. And the 10 horns which you saw on the beast, these will hate the harlot, Babylon, and will make her desolated and naked. They will eat her flesh and burn her down with fire. So this is when Babylon is getting destroyed. And we know this. We know this, that the world today, even though Babylon is the only world superpower, America. Even though America has created United Nations, and they created this beast, and they gave all the power to it, they all hate it. They all hate America, whether it's China or Russia or Europe. All of these countries resent the fact that America is the only world superpower, and that they're abusing their power and trying to push their viewpoint on the world. So we can see when this is going to happen. But I believe this is the deadly wound that's been there, is when Babylon falls, and then it will come up stronger. So that's when, you know, the anti-Messiah will take his place in the world government, and then we'll read on from here, right? Okay, verse 4. We'll go back to Revelation 17 and verse 3 first. I just want to read one more verse. Revelation 17 and verse 3. And he carried me away into the desert by the Spirit, and I saw a woman sitting on a scarlet beast, filled with names of blasphemy, having 7 heads and 10 horns. So, again, Babylon is not the beast. Babylon is United States. The beast is United Nations. The beast is this world government. And like I said, it might not be exactly the United Nations as we know it today, because when Babylon falls, they could create something else. But we see it already. It's already there. The entity is already there. So it really doesn't matter what they call it. It's world government into some form or another. So now going back to verse 4. And they worshiped the dragon who gave authority to the beast. Now, of course, the dragon is indicative also of Satan. It's not just of China. So it's not that everybody's just worshiping China, but the dragon is China there when you're looking at the dragon, the leopard, the bear, the eagle, and the lion. But also, of course, the dragon is indicative of Satan. We even see it in verse 9 of chapter 12. The great dragon was cast out, the old serpent, being called the devil. And they worshiped the dragon who gave authority to the beast. And they worshiped the beast, saying, who is like the beast? Who is able to make war with it? But it does show that China will be a major leader of this beast power. That, you know, I don't know if this anti-Messiah, this leader, will be Chinese. I tend to doubt it, but you never know. You never know. But whoever it is, it really doesn't matter. It will be a demon in the form of a man or the form of a human that's half human and half machine or whatever it might be. But whatever it is, they're going to worship. So they worship the dragon who gave authority to the beast, and they worship the beast, saying, who is like the beast? Who is able to make war with it? So here it is, like I said, true believers, 144,000 already went to their place with Yeshua. Yeshua will be there with the 144,000, which is amazing in itself. But then the Laodiceans, which are most of the believers in the world today, they're left behind, as we saw, and Satan is mad, and Satan is coming and making war with them. So it's not the believers that are worshiping this beast power. It's the rest of the world. All the rest of the world is worshiping the beast power. And they worship the dragon who gave authority to the beast. And they worship the beast, saying, who is like the beast? Who is able to make war with it? And a mouth speaking great things and blasphemies was given to it. So we see here that this demonic beast power will be blaspheming Yahweh. And authority was given it to act for 42 months. We said that before. Talked about the time aspects. Don't want to say too much. But like I said, the reason why one says 1,260 days, one says 42 months, one says a time and a times and half a time, or a year and years and half a year, 3.5 years, is because it's dealing with different scenarios. One is dealing with the two witnesses' ministry. One is dealing with how long the beast has to act. One is dealing with how long the bride is going to be in the wilderness. So three different things. And they're not, and they are overlapping. It's not all the same 3.5 year period. And that's why Yahweh uses different symbolism of saying it, so we know what he's talking about. We know whether it's the two witnesses coming. Because remember, like I said, the two witnesses come before the beast. They have to. Because when the beast comes, that's when Yahweh's judgment is starting to come from the beast, from his grace being taken over from the world, like we said last week. So how long will the two witnesses be witnessing before the beast comes? We don't know. But we do know in Revelation 9, we went over this. The beast that comes from the pit, he's the one that's going to kill the two witnesses. So you don't know. They might witness for 3 years, and then maybe the beast comes the last 6 months of their 3.5 year ministry. We're really not sure, but definitely it's not the same 42 months as their 1,260 days. Overlapping, but two different time periods. And a mouth speaking great things and blasphemy was given it to, and authority was given it to act 42 months. And it opened its mouth in blasphemy toward Yahweh to blaspheme his name and his dwelling place and those dwelling in heaven. If we go to Deuteronomy 5 in verse 11, Deuteronomy 5 in verse 11. Says, you shall not take the name of Yahweh your Elohim in vain, for Yahweh will not hold him guiltless who takes his name in vain. So, wow. You know, and here's this evil demon who is blaspheming Yahweh and blaspheming his name. You know, and the name Yahweh is used in that verse, blaspheming toward Yahweh. That's in the original manuscripts, the name Yahweh, to blaspheme his name and those dwelling in heaven, dwelling in the earth. And here we see over the last year, at least maybe 2 years, 3 years, we see such an attack on Yahweh's name, right? Before, Satan tried to attack it to hide it. Then when Yahweh revealed it in these end times, and his name is being revealed as part of prophecy from Malachi, what happens? Yahweh brings people, false, deceitful prophets, non-believers who come across, and what are they doing? They're blaspheming Yahweh's name. They're saying his name is not Yahweh. They're using all kinds of false names like Jehovah or Yehovah, which is impossible in Hebrew to even come up with that. And then people denying the name of Yeshua. You know, it says that in the Savior's name, the Father's name is in his name. It talks about in Hebrews 1, you know, where the cherubs have the generic title of El, but the Son is given a more excellent name because he has the family name of Yah in his name. Yahshua, Yahweh's salvation. And I've seen people that actually believed in the name of Yahweh for years, and then they'll go back and start using Yeshua, or, you know, which just means simply salvation. Or even worse, sometimes going back to Jesus. Can you imagine? People who know the name of the Savior, there's one name in heaven and earth. Why would the Bible say that? If it really wasn't important, why would it say there's one name where men will be saved? Yeshua Messiah, Yeshua HaMashiach, if it didn't mean anything. But it says that because there's one name. That's the reason why I was rebaptized, even though I was baptized properly by a proper elder And I believe my baptism was valid and I was sincere. I was baptized originally in the name of Jesus. So I wanted to be rebaptized in the name of Yeshua, because that's the only name in heaven and earth where men will be saved. So here's this evil anti-Messiah who's blaspheming Yahweh and blaspheming his name. And he's doing it today, like I said, through these false prophets that are out there. And verse 7, and it was given to it to make war with the saints. And literally that word is sanctified ones, the set apart ones. So he's making war with the set apart ones and to overcome them. So that's why I say, wow, don't wait until the 144,000 go to that place for you, if you're a Laodicean, to wake up. Now is the time to wake up. Now is the time to get strong. Now is the time, the baptism of fire that we're going through. Man, this is the time to do it. Because there's going to be many Laodiceans who don't make it in the end that are going to go to the lake of fire. So here it is that it's given to this beast to make war with the sanctified ones and to overcome them. And authority was given to it over every tribe and kindred and tongue and nation. People say, where does it ever say there's a world government in the end time? Well, I'm reading it to you right here. It's saying all the world worshipped him. Look. Verse 8, and all those dwelling in the earth will worship him, those of whom the names had not been written in the book of life of the Lamb, having been slain from the foundation of the world. If anyone has an ear, let him hear. So all the world will worship him. And it was he has authority over every tribe and kindred and tongue and nation. It is a world government, there's no doubt about it. And he's going to overcome the saints. Daniel 7 and verse 21. Daniel 7 and verse 21. Really, really sad time, because you know something? I think this is the only time that I can think of in the Bible where Yahweh's people have no hope of overcoming at that time. They have hope of after this, but during that time, they will be overcome. It says it. It's not going to change. And that's why I say, wow, you don't want to be left behind. You know, there's no rapture up to heaven. You don't see that in Scripture, but you do see Yahweh's bride going into the wilderness, into her place to prepare for the great wedding supper. And wow, if we don't take that serious now, if we're not coming out of the world now, if we're not overcoming our sins now, if we're not being part of the body, and like I said, when I was given, the other message on cities of refuge, man, if we don't start doing this stuff now, you're going to be one of those people that are being overcome. Chapter 7 and verse 21. And I was looking of Daniel, and I was looking, and that horn, the little horn, the anti-Messiah, made war with the saints and overcome them. And you know why he was able to overcome them? He was able to overcome them because these people are Laodiceans, because they don't have the faith to overcome them themselves. But Yahweh will work for the good. Some of those Laodiceans, through this awful trial and through this persecution, and many of them being martyred, as we're going to see, they won't lose their eternal life, but they're sure going through a lot that they don't have to go through. Revelation 12 and verse 17. We went over this last week. Remember, after the 144,000 flee to the place in the wilderness, verse 17, and the dragon was enraged over the woman and went away to make war with the rest of her seed, the Laodiceans, those keeping the commandments of Yahweh and having the testimony of Yeshua Messiah. So this is what happens. You know, like I said, for 42 months, Satan is giving the green light by Yahweh to have authority on this world. And the world is going to love it. They're going to love it because every evil will go on. We're seeing it today. Marriage will be completely done. It won't just be homosexual and gay. Polygamy, everything will go at that time. And there'll be no laws to it. The marriage covenant will be totally decayed. Religion, the false religion, will all be worshipped towards Satan, whatever he's going to call himself. And true worship of Yahweh and the commandments will be outlawed. And unfortunately, like it says, even people's family will be giving them away. You know, so it's a really, really sad time. But this is the worst time the world has ever known and ever will know. Matthew 24 and verse 15. Matthew 24 and verse 15. And when you see the sign of uncleanness and desolation that was spoken of by Daniel the prophet, which will stand in the holy place, he that reads, let him understand, right? Then let those in Judea flee into the mountains. The one on the roof, let him not go down to take anything out of the house. The one in the field, let him not turn back to take his garment. But woe to the ones having a child in the womb and to those nursing in those days. And pray your flight will not be in winter on the Sabbath. For there will be great suffering as such as not happened from the beginning of the world until now. No, nor ever will be. And except those days were shortened, not any flesh would live. But on account of the chosen, those days will be shortened. Wow. So we see it's going to be an awful, awful time. And since, like I said, we don't know if this is 10 years down the road, 5 years down the road, 3 years down the road. We have no idea when this is going to start. But the fact that we know it's fairly close, why would believers still be living for this world? Why would believers be so involved with evil social media, which we're going to see is the very prerequisite of the mark of the beast? Why would they be involved with all of these gadgets and smartphones and all of this stuff instead of coming away from the world and serving Yahweh with all their heart, their mind, their soul, and their strength? What will it take? What will it take for Yahweh's people to wake up? And unfortunately, to Laodiceans, they won't wake up. It'll take nothing. They don't see it. And until the very end, they won't see it. And it's like I said, and then it's crocodile tears. People are crying, not because they're repentant. They're crying because they don't want to go through it. And then there's only one way that Yahweh can test a person at that point. He's got to test them with their very life. He's got to see. When they say, curse Yeshua or die, are you going to say, okay, pull the trigger? Sad it's got to come down to that. But that's what we see here. And it should be a motivation for all of us to serve Yahweh. Not just to not have to go through suffering, but because that's Yahweh's will for us. He doesn't want us to have to go through that. He doesn't want us to, and we don't have to if we simply will overcome now. Back to Revelation. Back to Revelation, verse 8. We just read that. All those dwelling in the earth will worship this beast, those of whom the names have not been written in the book of life of the Lamb, having been slain from the foundation of the world. If anyone has an ear, let him hear. So Daniel 7 in verse 23. Let's go back to Daniel 7 in verse 23. Because all the earth is worshiping this beast. For the believers, it's your worst nightmare. Satan in the flesh. But to the world, that's what they want because the world is evil. They want everything of Satan. So Daniel 7 in verse 23 says, and he said, the fourth beast shall be the fourth kingdom on earth, which will be different from all the kingdoms, and shall devour all the earth and trample it down and crush it. We just read these two verses here. And the 10 horns of this kingdom are 10 kings, and they shall arise, and another will arise after them. And he shall be different from the first, and shall humble 3 kings. So we see, if you read Daniel, you'll see that there's going to be war. You know, it's not all going to be hunky-dory between all of these world government nations. And 3 of the original first ones are going to be plucked out. And then verse 25. And he shall speak commands against the Most High. This is again talking about the anti-Messiah. He's called the little horn over here. And he shall speak commands against the Most High. And he shall wear out the saints of the Most High. And he intends to change times in law. And they shall be given into his hand until a time in times and 1/2 time. A year, 2 years, and 1/2 year, 3.5 years. That this is going to go on for believers that are left behind. 3.5 years, it's a long time. And that's why, as we'll see as we get into the next couple chapters, it literally says, blessed are those who die from here on in. You know, there's just nothing to live for at that point. But he's going to change times and laws, which means Shabbat will not be legal, okay? Torah will be, I mean, you think laws are changing now, wait till you see this happen. Go to Daniel 8, and let's go down to verse 23. We'll see some other things he's going to do. And in the latter time of their kingdom, when the apostasy has been complete, a king strong of face and understanding dark sentences shall stand up. Again, the little horn, the anti-Messiah. And his power shall be mighty, but not by his own power, right? He's being led by Satan. And he shall destroy wondrously. And he shall prosper in work and destroy the powerful and the holy people. And also through his policy, he will make deceit succeed in his land. And he will lift himself up in his heart, and by peace he shall destroy many. He shall also stand up against the prince of princes, but he shall be shattered without a hand. So again, by peace he will destroy many. I'm not going to go to Daniel 9, but in Daniel 9, we know that this anti-Messiah, what does he do? He makes peace between Israel and the Arabs. He's going to make a peace. It's going to look to the world like everything is great. What a wonderful thing. But it's because Israel will not be sovereign anymore. They'll give our land, the land of the Ephraimites, away at that time. And that's why Yahweh's wrath is going to come on the world, right? We know it from Joel 3. Why is Yahweh mad? Because of their giving away his land. So back to Revelation. Back to Revelation 13. Verse 10. If anyone gathers into captivity he goes. If anyone will kill by a sword he must be killed. Here is the patience and faith of the saints. And I'll tell you something. He's basically just simply saying, you know, you reap what you sow. You reap what you sow. It's amazing to me how believers, there are some believers that I know, some of them in Babylon, that actually, you know, not that I say there's anything wrong with having a gun. You know, I mean, nothing wrong against hunting and getting food. If you want to kill a deer, I was going to say a chicken. I don't think too many people shoot chickens. But whatever. I mean, if you have a gun and you're shooting an animal and eating the food or whatever, there's nothing wrong with that. But I've talked to believers that have shocked me that think when this world government comes that they're going to fight them with guns. That they're going to go out and they're going to fight them with guns. And I'm thinking, wow, look at this. He who gathers into captivity goes. If anyone will kill by a sword he must be killed. You reap what you sow. You think that you're going to be protected by a gun, you're going to get killed by a gun. You know, it's exactly what you sow is what you're going to reap. Jeremiah 15, 2 and 3. People, when they always ask me with Babylon, well, where do you go? Where do you go? It's not like there aren't almost 200 countries around the world that you can go to, all of them better than Babylon. But this is what I always read them. Jeremiah 15 and verse 2. And it will be if they say to you, where shall we go? Then you shall tell them. So says Yahweh. Those who are for death, for death. Those who are for sword, for sword. Those for famine, to famine. And those for captivity, to captivity. And I will set over them four kinds, says Yahweh. The sword to kill, the dogs to drag off, the birds of the heaven, and the beasts of the earth to devour and to destroy. So where do you go? You reap what you sow. It's that simple. You know, and like I said, if people can't leave Babylon now, when you could just go and get an airplane ticket and go anywhere you want in the world, you can freely do that, you know, and you have every opportunity. You could plan it. You could plan it out for a year or whatever, 2 years, whatever it is, but make a plan and then go. If you can't do that now while you're free, how on earth do you think you'll do it when there's martial law, when you're not even allowed to drive a car or do whatever? You won't. And then you're going to reap what you sow. Revelation 22, 11 and 12. Revelation 22, 11 and 12. And it is very clear, you know, leave the land of Babylon or partake in her punishment. Revelation 22 and verse 12 says, 11 and 12, the one acting unjustly will continue to act unjustly, and he who is filthy will continue to be filthy, and the righteous let him continue to do righteousness, and he who is holy let him continue to be holy. And behold, I am coming soon, and my reward is with me to give each according to his work. So that's the reason why we should be doing it now, coming out of the world, doing the work of Yahweh, being sanctified, you know, loving your neighbor as yourself, you know. We should be doing it because we love Yahweh. We should be doing it because we want to be like him. Not just because we don't want to go through trial or tribulation. We should be doing it because it's part of us. That's the reason we should be doing it. That's what he's saying here. Anyone gathers captivity, into captivity goes. Anyone kills by a sword he must be killed. Let the filthy continue to be filthy. Let the holy continue to be holy. Unfortunately, by this time, the Laodicean is still the Laodicean. And that's why he's left behind. And that's why Satan is allowed to overcome them. Because it's Yahweh's last test on them. Verse 11 of Revelation 13. And I saw another beast coming up of the earth, and it had two horns like a lamb, but it spoke like a dragon. It had two horns like a lamb and spoke like a dragon. And it executes all the authority of the first beast before it. And it causes that the earth And those dwelling in it should worship the first beast whose deadly wound was healed. So who is this? This is the false prophet. This is the false prophet. So the same way that you had like Moses and Aaron, right? You had Moses who was like the Messiah, a type of Messiah. Remember what Yahweh said? A prophet like unto me will come, who was Yeshua in Deuteronomy 18, 15. So Moses is a type of Messiah and Aaron is his prophet. Aaron is his prophet. So you're going to have the same thing here. You're going to have the anti-Messiah, who's a world-governing person, and then he's going to have a false prophet or some kind of religious person who's getting all the world to worship him. Could it be the Pope? Possibly. Could it be an evangelical leader? Possibly. It could be any religious. Could it be the Mahdi, the Muslim leader? Possibly. Could it be a rabbi? Possibly. I don't know. But all I know is it's going to be some kind of religious figure that all the world is going to listen to and worship. Matthew 24 and verse 23. Matthew 24 and verse 23. And like I said, maybe it'll be somebody who claims to be all those things. You know? I always say the anti-Messiah is going to be Jesus. Could be a guy saying that he's Jesus. And the people are believing him, and he's a false prophet. So Matthew 24 and verse 23. Then if anyone says to you, below, here is the Messiah, or here, do not believe. For false messiahs and false prophets will rise up, and they will give great signs and wonders as to lead astray, if possible, even the chosen. So like today, when you look at these false, ridiculous TV evangelists, you know, that go up there and they say, the Lord said, the Lord said. Who would believe somebody like that? I mean, who on earth would believe somebody that is acting silly like that? I mean, it's ridiculous, some of those guys who are actually comedians. You know, that's what they are. They go up there and they're actually doing a comedy act, you know. And I guess the more you like the comedy, the more money you're going to put in the basket. But who would believe that? You know, you have to really be shallow in your belief of the Bible to believe that. But this is going to be somebody that is so deceitful that if possible, even the elect would be deceived, right? You have believers that are so deceived that they think that if a temple is built in Jerusalem now, that's a good thing. When we know that if a temple is built now, it has nothing to do with Yahweh. Isaiah 66. So whoever this religious figure is, you know, that's why I say, I don't know if it'll be a pope or whatever, but it's going to be somebody who is so dynamic in doing miracles that if possible, even the elect would be deceived by it. Matthew 7, 15 and 16. Matthew 7, 15 and 16. But beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inside they are plundering wolves. From their fruits you will know them. Do they gather grapes from thorns or figs from thistles? By their fruits you will know them. Isaiah 8:20 says, to the Torah and to the testimony, if they speak not according to this word, there is no light in them. So that's the key. If they're not teaching Torah, if they're not teaching the commandments, if they're not teaching sanctification and holiness, you know, and worship of Yahweh and teaching Yahweh and Yeshua's true name, there's no light in any of those people. All they are is false deceivers trying to deceive people. So you're going to have a guy, and look at verse 13. And he performed great signs, even so as to make fire come down from heaven upon the earth before men. Wow. He's going to do great signs that even to make fire come down from the earth. Matthew 16. Matthew 16. But this is what people want, right? People don't want to hear the nuts and bolts of the truth. People want lying signs and wonders. They want to be entertained. It's that simple. You know, that's why they want you to do videos and movies and anything that can entertain them. But look at Matthew 16. And having come, the Pharisees and the Sadducees, tempting him, Yeshua, asked him to show them a sign out of heaven. But answering, he said, even in coming, you say clear sky, for the sky is red. And in the morning you say, today it is winter, for the sky is a gloomy red. Hypocrites, you know how to observe the appearance of the sky. The signs of the times you do not know how to discern. An evil and adulterous generation seek a sign, and a sign will not be given to it except the sign of Jonah the prophet. And leaving them, he went away. So again, Yahweh gives us signs. He gives us plenty of signs. We just saw last year the sign of Revelation 12, a sign that happens once in 7,000 years. But what's evil is to seek a sign when we're already given all the signs we need, as if one more sign would matter. You know, like with the Israelites, you know, 10 times they saw the power of Yahweh, 10 times, and still they didn't believe. The parting of the Red Sea, can you imagine? They're there and they're watching. And that's why Yahweh said, I swore in my wrath, you will not enter my rest. They lost out on the kingdom because of their, they committed the unpardonable sin. They literally saw the power of Yahweh. They knew it, and still they didn't believe. So scary, but that's what happens. And this person's performing great signs, even to make fire come down from heaven upon the earth before men. Deuteronomy 13, 1 through 5. Deuteronomy 13, 1 through 5. And it says, if a prophet or dreamer of dreams rises among you and gives you a sign or a wonder, just like we're talking about, and the sign or the wonder which he spoke to you occurs, saying, let us go after other Elohim, which we have not known, and let us serve them. You shall not listen to the words of that prophet or that dreamer of dreams. For Yahweh your Elohim is testing you to know if you love Yahweh with all your heart and with all your soul. You shall walk after Yahweh your Elohim, and you shall fear him. And you shall keep his commandments, and you shall hear his voice, and you shall serve him, and you shall cleave to him. And that prophet or that dreamer of dreams shall die because he has spoken apostasy against Yahweh your Elohim, who is bringing you out of the land of Egypt and has redeemed you out of the house of slaves to drive you out of the way which Yahweh your Elohim is commanding you to walk, and you shall put away all evil from your midst. And I try to tell Christians this. When you're trying to say that Yeshua nailed the Torah to the cross, don't you understand that you're proving he could be the Messiah then? When Yeshua came, he had to fulfill the Torah perfectly. And the Torah clearly says that if someone comes and they do a miracle, they actually will do a miracle, but they take you away from the Torah, they're a false prophet. So I tell Christians that you're proving that your Jesus can't be the Messiah if he's nailing the Torah to a tree or whatever, or to a cross, whatever they're saying. So, but Yeshua never did that. And that's why he said, you know, that Matthew 5:17, that he did not come to destroy the Torah of the prophets, but to fulfill until heaven and earth pass, which they're still here. Not one jot or tittle will pass from the Torah. They'll all be fulfilled, and all has not been fulfilled. So, but this false prophet will be doing that, but people will not be looking at the Bible. They're not going to look at the Bible and see with the Bible, because it's not going to make a difference to them. So he's deceiving them by every lying sign and wonder. And using technology, right? Having fire come down from heaven, all kinds of false technology, and who knows? I mean, today they can do almost anything with holograms and all kinds of things. And verse 14, and he deceives those dwelling on the earth because of the signs which were given to it to do before the beast, saying to those dwelling on the earth to make an image to the beast who has the wound of the sword and lived. And it was given to it to put life into the image of the beast, so that the image of the beast might even speak and might cause as many as would not worship the image of the beast to be killed. Wow. So this is, I believe, where Daniel's talking about. And Matthew mentions the abomination of desolation. This is what we're seeing here. 2 Thessalonians 2 and verse 9. 2 Thessalonians 2 and verse 9 says, for the coming of that one, this is the anti-Messiah, is due to the working of Satan in all power and miraculous signs and lying wonders, just like we're reading about, and in all deceit of unrighteousness, and those who will perish because they did not receive the love of the truth in order for them to be saved. And because of this, Elohim will send to them a working of deception for them to believe the lie, that those not believing in the truth but have delighted in unrighteousness may be damned. So Yahweh's going to allow them. He's going to allow them to believe in this lie. I mean, it could be some kind of statue that speaks, or some kind of, like I said, some kind of robot or something that looks like a human that's going to speak and do all these things. But there's an image of the beast and life is put into it. And we know it now with artificial intelligence. They're doing this. They're saying this, that they're making, they're this close to making these half human and half machine that will have every single piece of knowledge of everywhere in the world will be implanted in them. And then what it is now with the artificial intelligence, what that means is now that they have every piece of knowledge, they can create their own knowledge without man. That's scary. Because a computer, when you think about it, all a computer is it's a device that can hold a lot of information. But it only can hold the information you put into it. Now they're going to make humanoid images that can actually think themselves and do it themselves. And it is a scary thought when we see this. Daniel 3 in verse 1. Daniel 3 in verse 1. Nebuchadnezzar the king made an image of gold whose height was 60 cubits, its breadth 6 cubits. He set it in the plain of Dor in the province of Babylon. Then Nebuchadnezzar the king sent to gather the satraps, the prefects, the governors, the counselors, the treasurers, the judges, and the justices, and all the officials of the provinces were ordered to come to the dedication of the image that Nebuchadnezzar the king had set up. Then were gathered the satraps, the prefects, the governors, the counselors, the treasurers, the judges, the justices, and all the officials of the province for the dedication of the image that Nebuchadnezzar the king set up. And they stood before the image that Nebuchadnezzar had set up. Then the herald shouted with a stretch, "To you it is commanded, O people, nations, and languages," right? Just like the beast power. "At the time you hear the sound of the horn, the pipe, the cornet, the lyre, the harp, the bagpipe, and all kinds of music, you shall fall down and worship the golden image that Nebuchadnezzar the king has set up. And whoever does not fall down and worship, at that moment they will be thrown into the middle of a burning, fiery furnace. Then at that time, when all the people heard the sound of the horn, the pipe, the cornet, the lyre, the harp, and all kinds of music, all the people, the nations, and the languages fell down, worshiping the image of gold that Nebuchadnezzar the king had set up. Then at that time, men Chaldeans came near and accused and slandered the Jews." Another thing in the end time, we know what's going to happen. The beast power is going to come after Jews, that's for sure. "They answered and said to King Nebuchadnezzar, 'O king, live forever. You, O king, have made a decree that every man who shall hear the sound of the horn, the pipe, the cornet, the lyre, the harp, the bagpipe, and all kinds of music shall fall down and worship the golden image. And whoever does not fall down and worship, he should be thrown into the midst of a burning, fiery furnace.'" So this is what's happening. The same thing here. It's the same parallel in Revelation. The false prophet, they're making this image, this thing that is going to be, like I said, almost like a half human, half machine, that's going to speak and do whatever. And like it says, "And it was given to put life into the image of the beast so that the image of the beast might even speak and might cause as many as would not worship the image of the beast to be killed," just like we saw it with Nebuchadnezzar. "And the small and the great and the rich and the poor and the free men and the slaves, it causes that they give them all a mark on their right hand and on their foreheads, even that not any could buy or sell except the one having the mark or the name of the beast or the number of its name." So a lot of people just go by the, 666. But remember now, look what it's saying here. You're not going to be able to buy or sell except you either have the mark or the name of the beast or the number of its name. So they put this in the hand, in the right hand, or in the foreheads. If we go back to Deuteronomy 6 in verse 5. Deuteronomy 6 and verse 5. "And you shall love Yahweh your Elohim with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your might. And these words which I am commanding you today shall be on your heart, and you shall diligently teach them to your sons and shall speak of them as you sit in the house, and as you walk in the way, and as you're lying down, and as you're rising up." So it's loving Yahweh with all your heart, your mind, your soul, and your strength. "And you shall bind them for a sign on your hand, and they shall be for frontlets between your eyes." So the same where Satan is going to put a literal mark in the hand and the forehead of the people, Yahweh's mark is loving him with all your heart, your mind, your soul, and the strength, and having them, his words, his Torah, right, burned into your mind. The sign that Yahweh has is because your mind is how you think and your hand is what you do. So if you have the Torah in your mind, then your everything you do is going to be from the Torah. But Satan is the opposite. Satan, he knows he's not getting real allegiance from anybody. So literally, you want to know technology that they actually have today that they haven't started using yet, but they're working on perfecting this. They're talking about doing a brain implant. So now we have all kinds of implants. You know, I don't think I have to get into detail on it. Women have all kinds of implants going on. I mean, it's crazy that you have all these things. People have implants in their lips. I don't know why people would want lip implants, you know, cheek implants, you know, all kinds of implants that are happening. Some of them not so bad. Like if you have a broken knee and you have to get a knee implant or a hip implant. But now they're literally talking about doing brain implants, which means that they would literally implant, and they would have to do it through your forehead, right? And then I guess in your hand too would be some kind of chip that would work for activating it. But when they put this implant into your brain, literally then it would be like now people are 24/7 connected to the internet and social media through what? Through their little cell phones. And I just saw something about, they were talking about the Congress is having these big hearings now because of the addiction, that people are addicted so much to social media that some people are checking, they said 18 times an hour sometimes, getting up in the night every hour looking to see if there's another thumb up or like or whatever it is. That I warned people about it, about how evil Facebook, Twitter, all this stuff is. And now it's all coming out that this is all satanically inspired and made by Satan. And it's all part of the mark of the beast. It's all part of the mark of the beast. And now with a mind implant, a brain implant, that literally then you won't even need that little cell phone. That it'll be implanted in your brain so you'll see it. I don't know how it'll work. If you'll see it on a wall, you'll see it in your mind. But wherever it is, that literally that you would be able to, it'll be the mark of the beast right here. And then look at verse 18. It's really interesting. Here is wisdom, right? Let him who has understanding compute the number of the beast. For it is the number of man, and its number is 666. So what's interesting, I was looking up because there's many men that they call it gematria. Remember, numbers are something that is fairly new. In ancient languages, in Hebrew, in all the Semitic languages, originally they did not have numbers. What you had is you had letters that represented a number. So it's called gematria. Gematria. So let me just explain how it works. If you're looking at English, A would be 1, B would be 2, C would be 3, D would be 4. So in Hebrew, you would have Aleph is 1, Bet is 2, Gimel is 3, Dalet is 4, and you go 1 to 9, and then, because there's 22 letters, and then you go 10, 20, 30, 40, 50, 60, 70, 80, 90, 100, and then 100, 200, 300, 400. So in the 22 letters, that's how it works. So now, if you take a name, every name, like if you take the name of David, you know, David. So it's Dalet, Vav, Dalet. So you could add up the numbers of the name. The Vav is a 6. The Vav really is a 6, and the Dalet is a 4. So you would see that you have 2 4s and a 6, and that comes to 14. And that's why in the book of Matthew, remember where it talked about 14 generations, 14 generations, 14 generations? That's why they do that. That's why Yahweh inspired that, because the gematria of David's name is 14, and the Messiah is the son of David. So gematria is important. I mean, there's amazing things with gematria in the Bible and how it works with that. So everybody, you could look your own gematria up. But just to give you some of the people, it started with Nero Caesar. Nero Caesar literally, and if you look up in all the ancient history of the early congregation, you'll see that Nero Caesar comes up in the gematry, you know, in the Greek gematry of 666. So a lot of people thought that Nero was the anti-Messiah. And he was right at that time. Like I said, the early believers thought by 70 AD, Yeshua was returning. And Nero was in 64. He was the emperor and different things. I'm not going to get into that now for time reasoning. But after Nero, there were other people like Hitler. His name comes up to 666. Mussolini comes up to 666. There's even titles that the Pope has, that if you put his title comes up to 666. But even modern day, Prince Charles comes up to 666. Juan Carlos of Spain, Napoleon's came up to 666. Recep Erdogan, the president of Turkey, his name comes up to 666. And he's one that I could believe might be it, because Turkey is going to be a big player in this in the end time. I really need to give a whole sermon on that. But even Benjamin Netanyahu, do you know his name comes up to 666? So there's a lot of people that come up to 666, but I don't believe that that's what it's saying, right? Because look what it says before this, that you can't buy or sell except if you have the mark, right? Or the name of the beast or the number of the name. So it's stopping people from working. It's stopping people from buying and selling commerce. Look at the world today. What do you need today for buying and selling for the most part? If you had a cashless society, how would you buy and sell if you were? And we're going toward that very, very quickly. A cashless society, it could come within the next decade or less. They have it set up, and India actually has started it already. They've already started it. Most people don't use cash. Most places you go to, you're not allowed to give cash. And most countries, if even buying something like a car, they'll say that you're not allowed to pay in cash, you know. And because they're doing away with the cash, because they want everything to be done electronically. They want everything to be done. And look what it says here. It says, here is wisdom. So let's use a little wisdom now, right? Let him who has understanding, what does it say to do? What does it say? It says, compute. Compute the number. Compute, where's that word come from? Computer. Compute comes from computer. So let's compute the number of the beast. For it is the number not of a man, but it literally should be, it is the number of man. What is the number of man? Six. Six is the number of man, right? Because why? Man was created on the sixth day. Man is incomplete. Yahweh's number is seven, because the seventh day is the Sabbath. So six, the sixth millennium, mankind has come all over the earth in the billions, right? And the sixth millennium, the seventh millennium, is the millennium of the Sabbath, where the thousand-year millennium reign of Messiah. So now we're going to compute, like computer, the number of mankind, which is six. So 666, the number three, is a number of unity. It's man unified against Yahweh. It's the Tower of Babel all over again. Man unified against Yahweh. But, you know, it's also really even simpler than that. Because, like I said, in gematry, right? Let's use gematry now. What is the sixth letter of the Hebrew alphabet? The Wav, the W. So, the mark of the beast is 666, but there's no six in Hebrew, or Wav, Wav, Wav. W, W, W. The World Wide Web. It's pretty simple. So people, you could work out this and work out this. And if you take this letter and you turn it this way and you stand on your head, this guy's number comes out to 666. You really don't have to do that, because it's pretty simple what it says here. That the number of the beast, that you will not be able to buy or sell or be part of this beast world system if you're not part of the World Wide Web. If you're not part of the 666. WWW. Which, you know, it's really interesting, because the World Wide Web started in the 1990s. It started as an interconnection of just certain parts of the web, and look at what it turned out today. But this is why I say, wow, get off Facebook, get off Twitter, get off all this social media out there, Instagram, all of this evil stuff, because all of this, the WWW, is all part of the mark of the beast. And You know, here it is as we're getting into the Philadelphia experiment, and we have our team of elders that we're going over this now. Hopefully in the next month, we're going to come with some reports to me and start going over. But I can tell you one report that I'm going to really, really encourage people. I don't know if I can encourage people at this point, most people in the world, to completely at this point get off internet. Completely. I wish I could. I wish I could do it myself. But it just wouldn't be functional to me as the leader of the congregation and ministry right now. But I can say, man, we could get it back. We could at least get it down 50 to 75%. We could get it where it's outside of our homes. We can get it where maybe we're only using it in public places. Maybe we're only doing it once a week. And instead of getting more into it, okay, because face it, anybody that's on Facebook or all this other stuff, when they come out with the next thing, you'll get into that too. It's time to start pulling back. And I'm telling you, the fact that 2,000 years ago, Yahweh named the WWW, the World Wide Web, the 666, as Satan's mark, why would any believer want to be any part of it? Yahweh doesn't need a branding to us. And there will be a chip that's going to be put. Like I said, they're doing these brain implants, but there'll be a chip in the hand. But whatever it's going to take, because you won't have those little computers anymore. You won't have those little iPhones. They'll be obsolete. The same way now voice recorders, not voice, the tape recorders are obsolete now. VHSs, wow, just a few years ago, I have a bunch of VHSs like from biblical things, even biblical movies. I can't use them anymore because there's no VHS players anymore. In just a few short years, they're obsolete. And I can tell you, your smartphone and all this other stuff will be obsolete shortly too. It'll only be if you have that implant in your head and in your hand, that you're going to be able to do anything. And if you're as addicted to the internet and all this social media stuff that most of them are now, then you're going to do it. And this is why this is so serious, because it's here. It's here, and the mark of the beast is before us. And brethren, I'm not coming out of it. Like I said, when we're looking at the Philadelphia experiment, instead of becoming more like the Amish and more sanctified, I think that we're more like the world in a lot of ways. But that's changing. Praise Yahweh. It's changing as the kibbutzes are growing and the communities and more that we're going to do this year. But wow, what a cold water in the face to see here that if you compute, you compute the computer and you see the number of mankind, 666, and the gematria, WWW, the World Wide Web. Okay, that will end our Bible study for tonight. And hope everybody has a most blessed Sabbath, and we will see you next week. We're going to be stopping the Bible study for a few weeks. I'll probably write about that because I'm going to be traveling and need to prepare some things as the holy days are coming up. But I'll write the brethren, and we'll see. We'll probably stop it just for maybe 2 weeks and then get it started again. So Yahweh bless. Shabbat shalom.